Today I want to teach out of Acts chapter 12. If you can flip over there really fast. Acts chapter 12. I have actually preached this passage from many different perspectives. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. But today I want to talk to you about the after Easter intention. We just celebrated the greatest day in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the apex of our faith, the crown jewel of who we are. It's the Super Bowl, the World Series. Come on, somebody. The Final Four. It's everything. And if you flip the page, you'll find out what God is calling us to do. But we'll also see what the devil wants to do. So let's just jump in really fast. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Verse 2, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this was met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to see Simon Peter also. And this happened during the festival of Passover. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after Easter. So don't miss this. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Herod intended to bring Simon Peter out for public trial after Easter. This was the king's after Easter intention. And this is my provoking thought for you today. What are your intentions now that it is after Easter? Because this is the truth. God has big, 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 big plans in store for you, your family, your faith, your finances, your church, your community. Big plans. God sees the big picture, the notorious B.I.G. They are exceedingly and abundantly bigger than you could ever ask or think. God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He has plans to give you a hope and a future. This is true. God loves you and he wants to bless you. However, Satan is real and he has a plan for you too. His plan is to steal your joy, kill your ambition, and to ultimately destroy your dreams. He is the author of confusion, the accuser of the brethren, and the father of all lies. He seeks to wear you out and to bring your effort to no effect. At least this is what he was trying to do in the first century church. In Acts chapter 12, James was beheaded by King Herod for boldly sharing his faith, and he was faithfully pastoring the church of Jerusalem in 44 AD. So Herod, a type of Satan in Scripture, saw that this pleased the Jews. He killed the pastor, okay, of the church of Jerusalem, James. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he arrested Simon Peter too. This was all a part of his political rally, if you will. I will do whatever it takes to please the people. I don't care about God. I just care about the money, the fame, the power, the position. This is politics. Are you with me? And after he saw that this pleased the people, he wanted to kill Simon Peter too. And he intends, okay, to wreak havoc in your life too. See, it was the week of Passover, the week that we call Easter, and the king thought it would be wise to allow the church to celebrate before he continued his killing spree. He thought, I will let the church go to the temple and worship in their nice little attire and perform their little religious rituals and sing a few little songs, and I'll let them go out and eat afterwards with the full intention of bringing total destruction in the life of every disciple wishing to annihilate the faith of their forefathers. And this is still the will of Satan, to steal, kill, and destroy the life of every Christ follower. Case in point, Satan does not want you to succeed. He wants to kill your joy, your peace, your family, and your dreams. But I have good news for you this morning. We serve a God who can interrupt the intention of our adversary. Just like Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, and the resurrection screams this reality that the devil is under our feet. For greater is he who lives in me than he that lives in the world. Can I preach? And I do not want you to miss this reality. God is greater than anything that you and your family are facing. God is greater than cancer. God is greater than a bad doctor's report. God is greater than addiction. God is greater than the weapons of mass destruction that we're facing. He's greater than divorce. He's greater than bankruptcy, unforgiveness, discord. No matter what the enemy has thrown on your family, there is hope, and his name is Jesus. When the righteous run to him, they are safe. It's the week after Easter. And I want to say, we don't walk by faith. We walk by faith. And when we do, the Lord Jesus keeps us safe. Your name is tattooed on his hand. Can somebody say amen? But I do not want you to be ignorant, okay? Dismayed by Satan's schemes today. This is the after Easter intention of your adversary. This is what I want you to see in the story. Okay, the enemy, King Herod, a type of Satan, a symbol of what we are facing. He wants to destroy. He allowed the first century church to celebrate. I'll let you do whatever you want to do this weekend, but right after the weekend, I'm coming. I'm going to slow your roll. I'm going to try to prevent the purpose. I'm going to try to put a lid on your life. I'll let you do this. I'll let you do that. But I'm not going to let you really succeed. Is anybody with me? Easter is the most populated Sunday morning service on the calendar other than Christmas. I call it CEO Christianity, Christmas and Easter only. Most people go to church on these days with full intention of going right back into their spiritually complacent life, right back into a religious rut, right back into life as normal. They have no intention of serving God or making Jesus their Lord. They believe in Jesus. Yes, I'll check the little box. I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior, but he'll never be my Lord. Okay? But I believe that Christianity should be life rearranging. Church should be more than griping and grinning. Christianity should be gripping. Okay? I should take hold of that which has taken hold of me. It should change the landscape of my life in totality. Church is the time that we carve out every week to celebrate the risen King. But every day is Resurrection Day. He is the resurrection and the life. And I'm telling you, he wants to do so much more for you and your life, and your family, and your ministry. But the devil wants to drag you back down. I'll give you a little reprieve. I'll let you celebrate on Sunday. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm right back on the warpath. He doesn't want you to really be free. He doesn't want you to really move forward. He wants you to go right back into your mess. Ezekiel 33:31 says, "My people come to me as they usually do, and they sit before me to hear my words, but they do not put them into practice." And my second question for you this morning is this: what is your intention after Easter? The most important part of what we are doing at church is not the singing or the preaching. It's simply your response. What are you going to do with God's word? If the singing and the preaching doesn't motivate you and cause a change in your intention, did it really make a difference in your life? There's an old story in Genesis chapter 41 when Joseph had a dream. He had a series of dreams. And there was a time when he saw skinny cows. He saw very fat cows, and it represented abundance. But then he saw skinny cows, which represented a famine. And God said, if you will save the first 7 years, you will have plenty the next 7 years. And during the years of plenty, thankfully, Joseph obeyed the voice of God, and he saved. And he paid attention to the prophetic signs of the times, and he passed the test. I mean, he saved his family, and he saved the generation that was behind him. And I'm telling you that God wants you to hear the word of the Lord. He wants you to save. Because there came a time when the cows were skinny. They didn't have enough to make ends meet. And if they didn't heed the word of the Lord, they would have lost their life. And I'm saying to you today that God is speaking. God is pouring out a blessing on you after Easter. He's teaching you to walk by faith and not by sight. He's teaching you that the best days are not behind you. Your best days are before you. Why do we say that Christ is the resurrection and the life, but we live like he's dead? Friend, my friend, he is not dead. He's alive. He's alive. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus is alive. And my assignment for you this morning is to provoke you to purpose. My prayer is that today would bring an everlasting change. The measure of the success of this meeting is, did you leave different than you came? It does us no good to walk into church every Sunday only to hear the word of God over and over and over again, but it never bears any fruit in our life. God is calling us to change our after Easter intention. 2024, I'm telling you, there is more. We just finished the first quarter of 2024, and I'm telling you, God wants to do so much more. The most change that happens in a Christian's life comes the first 3 years of following the Lord. And many times they need to change. They need to change everything. They need to change who they hang out with. They need to change the way they talk. They need to change their routines. They need to change the way they handle money. But when was the last time that you changed something? When was the last time that you added something to your conviction list? When was the last time that you walked out of a service and said, my life will never be the same? When was the last time that you intended to do something and the Lord pricked your heart and changed your mind concerning somebody or a situation? I'm telling you, if God had any purpose for the day of Pentecost, it was change. The early church celebrated Resurrection Sunday, and 50 days later, they celebrated Pentecost, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this was the significance. God wanted to change the church. He rearranged it, and he redefined it. The two strongest elements of nature is wind and fire. The wind began to blow on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one place, and they were all in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And then the fire fell, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wind rearranges things, and fire redefines things. What was God saying? He was saying, I came to change the landscape of the church. I came to change the landscape of your life and your nation and your world. There are people sitting here today, and you have all the intentions in the world to hold on to what God is asking you to give up. But God sent me here today to charge you to change. Some of you need to give up. Dot, dot, dot. Beer, bitterness, gossip. I don't know what it is, but some of you need to wave the white flag and say, you know what? I give up. God, I'm going with you. This is my after Easter intention. Herod intended to go right back doing what he was doing after Easter. But the power of God stopped him and the apostles were set free, if you read the rest of the story. And I pray that God would do the same thing for you, that he would put a hedge of protection around you, and that you would rise to the top, and that you would walk away completely and wholeheartedly free. I want to give you five things, five specific things that the first century church did after Easter. Really fast. Number one, they broke bread. They celebrated Jesus' memory. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They broke bread. And this is something that you and I need to put into practice, perhaps after Easter. Because this is what holds us together, remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, they searched the scripture. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says that the Bereans went back and searched the scriptures to see if what the apostles were teaching them were true. So they broke bread, they celebrated Passover, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. This was the centerpiece, the apex of the Christian faith. And the very first thing that they did over and over and over again in the book of Acts is they broke bread. But then they searched the scriptures. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And this is something that you and I need to do. We need to read our Bible on a consistent basis. Number three, they took care of the sick. A major component of Jesus' mission was the commission, the great commission. He said to go and to preach and to teach and to baptize and to take care of those that are lost, that are the least of these, and those that are unloved. So I'm telling you, the greatest way to help you with your problem is to get something in your life bigger than your problem. And I have not found anything bigger than God. And God said to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to take care of others, to love your neighbor as yourself. So after Easter, find somebody that's struggling and give them strength. Take care of the sick. I promise you, this will help you. Number four, they shared their faith and they invited others into their fellowship. I can't think of another way. This is the way. Okay, sharing starts with caring. Do you care that there are people out there that do not know the gospel? Break bread, search the scripture, serve the sick, and share your faith with your family, your friend, and whosoever. Find a fellowship, get plugged in, and shake and shine. Be the salt of the earth, and be the light of the world. And number five, they were continually filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time experience. Be filled even today with the Holy Spirit and go put these five things into practice. These are five things, five after Easter intentions. The devil has one thing. He wants you dead. King Herod represents the devil. And in Acts chapter 12, he had killed James, one of the brothers, one of the sons of Zebedee, John's brother James. He had killed him. And now he was waiting till after Easter to kill Simon Peter too. But I'm telling you, God's purposes will prevail for you and your family. Be filled with the Holy Spirit today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. What is your after Easter intention? I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. And I'm not going to put a comma where God puts a period. I'm going to do it. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to do it in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He is working with me to bring true spiritual prosperity. And I'm telling you, 2024, it's time to soar. A fresh wind of the Holy Spirit is coming up under your wings today, and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to rise to new levels, because the devil is under your feet in Jesus' name. God bless you. I'll see you next week.
This program was made possible by the generous partners and friends of Chance Walters Ministries International. Until next time, we are on the revival road. For more information, download our free ministry app or go to our website at www.chancewalters.org. Indeed, the best is yet to come.